Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms this morning, we're going to read verse 1 of Psalm 14 this morning. Psalm chapter 14, verse number 1. And as our custom is, when we read one verse, I'll read aloud the first time through and you'll read silently. And then we'll read together in unison the second time through. And Psalm chapter 14, verse 1. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's word as we read the word of God together. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Let's read together now. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for our opportunity that we have this morning to be able to be healthy enough, to have your blessing enough to be in this room so that we can hear the word of God preached. Now help us to profit from it today. Help us to hear what the word of God says through our pastor. Use him this morning. Anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power. God bless all the word of God as it goes around on this property today. God, we pray that if there's one anywhere under the sound of the voice of the gospel today that does not know for sure they're going to heaven, that today they'd settle and know in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. As you're being seated, now I'll remind you about your electronic devices, that you would turn them to vibrate or turn them off. Check and make sure that they are so, please, so they won't go off during the service, because if your cell phone goes off during the service, it will electrocute you to death. And we'd hate to see that happen, because then there's smoke goes up, and we don't want that. So help us there, please. Also, sit still and listen now for these next few minutes. These last Sunday mornings we take in January and February, at least the month of January, and we try to preach messages that will help us through this next year. These last several Sundays, we have been asking questions that we need to answer. A few Sundays ago, we asked the question, where is your faith? Last Sunday, a one-word question, why? We talked about when to ask God why. This morning, the question is this, whose fool are you? Whose fool are you? So I'm nobody's fool, Pastor Johnson, then you've already been fooled. Everybody is going to be somebody's fool. Whose fool are you? It's not that we, are you a fool? The question is, whose fool are you? A fool in the Bible is somebody who rejects the knowledge or information that they receive. Now listen carefully. There's the right kind of fool and the wrong kind of fool. Not all fools are bad in the Bible. Most of them are. Not all fools. 83 times in the book of Proverbs, the person of the fool is mentioned. But this morning, I want you to understand there is a right kind of fool and a wrong kind of fool. The wrong kind of fool rejects the knowledge and information that they receive from God in His Word. That's the wrong kind of fool. The right kind of a fool is someone who rejects the knowledge and information that this world tries to give them. So then you see, under those two categories, we're somebody's fool this morning. In someone's eyes, we are a fool. So the question then becomes, whose fool are you? Now then, we are made a fool by three things. Number one, we're made a fool by our choices. By our choices. Number two, we are made a fool by our conduct. And number three, we are made a fool by our convictions. Three things make you a fool: choices, conduct, and convictions. Now let's get right to the message this morning. Look at me. We are made a fool because of the choices we make in life. Psalm 14 and verse 1, look at that. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. See, that's right, atheists are fools. And they are. They pretend themselves to be free thinkers. That's one of their favorite expressions. I'm in the free thinkers society. Wonderful, wonderful. Why, you're so free to think that you can look out and see the creation of God and deny the existence and say it was an accident. Now, that's not free thinking. That's stupid thinking. Nobody, look at me, ladies and gentlemen. Look at this building. You see this building? This didn't just happen. There was a design. There was a plan. There are people who built it. There are people who inspected it and took forever. Never mind, we won't go into that. Then there are all the things that took place. We didn't plant building seeds in the ground and they just popped up. This building, look at me. The building didn't take 82 trillion years to evolve. 2 years and a half to get to the city, but 82 trillion years to evolve. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, of course not. Look at me, people. See this right here? See this watch? Ain't no watch trees that came from chickens. Somebody designed this thing. Somebody built and made this. Why is it everything we see, we understand? Look at me. We understand there is a designer behind this and a constructor. But when it comes to the creation and the majesty of his universe, and look at me, and this human body, that's an accident? See why the Bible says that's a fool? He's rejecting just, never mind if you don't want to accept a six-day creation and all of that. Never mind if you don't accept that. You're rejecting the information God is giving you. Romans chapter 1 says he proves his existence through his creation. He shows us there's a God. Somebody did that. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I'm not impressed with atheists. I'm not impressed with how they think they're so intelligent. Frankly, folks, they're dumb as a rock because they're rejecting the simple, truthful information that is before their eyes, that they will embrace that same information about everything else that's made except what God made. And then because of that, they reject God. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. But look here, that's a choice. That's a choice. It's not an accident. That's a choice. But wait a minute. When the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, it not only means a person who rejects the existence of God, it means a person who rejects the authority of God. There are a lot of practical atheists today. I think, and frankly, in our Christian realm, there are a lot of Christian atheists. They must be, because they live like there's no God. See, that's just as foolish as a guy who looks at what God made and said there's no God. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. That's a choice also, though. Even worse for the person who is a Christian, who says they believe in God, but then live like there's no God. Their life is like there's no God. Their conduct is like there's no God. Their character is like there's no God. There's nothing about God, that them being under the authority of God, that demonstrates that whatsoever in their life. That's foolish. We know there's a God. The Bible says there's a God. Creation proves there's a God. His working in our life is evidence that there's a God. And then all of a sudden I get to make my choices like there's no God. No, that's a fool now. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is a fool who makes the choice to live like God does not exist and he has no authority over them in their life. That's why we'll go to church, sit there and listen and get up and go out that door and go home and go back and live together without being married, go back and commit immorality, go back and lie and cheat and get drunk and steal and do all the stuff that Christians do. Excuse me, some Christians do. Do you understand, dear people? The truth of the matter is the Bible says that a person who says lives like there's no God is just as much a practical atheist as an atheist is. So don't try to snow job God with this is what I believe. Show him how you live and the choices that you make, and that proves whether or not you really believe there's a God. Because friend, there is a God. You don't want to find out God on the wrong side of God, where he has to reach down into your life and do something to prove his existence to you. Egypt did that and paid a horrible price because they would not turn loose God's children. Don't do it this morning. Do not become a practical atheist in your life either. But then there are those people, bunch of fools, they go to church when it's raining outside. Can you imagine that fool? Don't they know it's raining outside and it's only going to be 40-some degrees today? And that it's possible that before you get home this afternoon, it may snow, and I'm just going to prophesy and say, I hope God does not let it snow until about 8:15. That's when we're done with church tonight. And then snow, and then you go to work tomorrow. But well, here's the funny thing. If it snows tomorrow, I bet people still go to work. How come when it rains, we can do all the stuff? There's still people at the mall, but they can't go to church. How come? But to them, we look like fools. You guys are crazy. You go to an old-fashioned independent fundamental soul winner separated King James Bible preaching hellfire damnation Baptist church over there, preaches the Bible, sings hymns, holy, holy. What a beautiful hymn. It makes you want to just stand up and salute. I mean, that's just God all over the place. Amen? Great anthem. Thank God we sing the hymns. But we look like fools to the rock and roll, let it all hang out, baby, sloppy agape bunch, man. We look like fools. Because we sing songs they think are antiquated. No, those are not antiquated. Those are solid sound. Look, you learned more doctrine from that one hymn this morning than you will in the average church that's going to roll around the ground, spit BBs, and bark like a dog and cluck like a chicken. But we look like fools. We're crazy. But that's a choice. Hear me? See, we're made fools by our choices. So can I ask you a question? Whose fool are you? Are we fools in the sight of God? Because we say, I've been cutting my own path and doing my own thing, and God hasn't done anything yet. Oh, please don't do that. Please don't do that. You're under the mercy of God. You're under the grace of God. You're under His compassion and His understanding. And that's why He's giving you that space to kind of rear yourself up and stiffen that neck and turn you. You're under the mercy of God. Do not take that to mean God is in heaven going, who is He now? Where is He? What's that guy down there? What's her name? What's she doing? No, that's not God now. When the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. That's a choice. We are made fools by our choices. But then, Pastor Johnson, who wants to look like a fool to this world? The world now that did what? Look at me. The world that makes heroes out of who? Right? 28, 29-year-old young man, dead this week. Well-known movie star type guy. People that came in his room when he was in there didn't know if he was alive or dead, didn't call for help, called a friend. You're surrounded by some pretty sharp people if they don't know to call the doctor, call the ambulance, call somebody to help. And then he laid there and died. And everybody takes pictures of his body in a body bag going out to an ambulance. Can I ask you a question? Do you really care what those people think about your life? I feel sorry for their loss. Don't misunderstand the statement. But ladies and gentlemen, why do we care what the world thinks about my choices? I don't care what the world thinks about my choices. Do you? Whose fool are you? Next Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday. Already churches in town got a sign up. Come watch the Super Bowl at our church. We'll put it up on the big screen. Going to have a Super Bowl party at their church. And that's where I'll be next week praying with them. But unbelievable. Folks ask me, are we calling up church on Super Bowl? I said, what? TiVo people, what's the matter with you? I cannot comprehend in my wildest imagination. Sir, and I don't want you to answer out loud, but who won the Super Bowl 12 years ago? Who won Super Bowl II? Who remembers this stuff? Except somebody who's addicted to sports, that's about it. Because the world doesn't remember these things. See, now I care what they think about whether or not I go to church when it rains outside. No. Whose fool are you? Good question to answer this year. We're made fools by our choices. Number two, we're made fools by our conduct. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 14, please. Psalms, then the book of Proverbs, then the 14th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 14, please. We are made fools by our choices. Number two, we're made fools by our conduct. What we do with our lives. Proverbs 14 and verse number 9, please. Proverbs 14 and verse number 9. Fools make a mock at sin, the Bible says. But among the righteous there is favor. Fools make a mock at sin. That means two things. Number one, they mock sin. They think, oh yeah, sin. I mean, come on, sin. That's not sin. This is not sin. They determine their own guidelines for what sin is. And it's always what somebody else does, not them. Like folks who believe if you don't live your Christian life, you lose your salvation. The list that they put under you lose your salvation actions are all things they don't do. Well, you got to murder somebody, you're not going to heaven. The Bible says if you hate someone, you're guilty of murder. The truth of the matter is they make a mock at sin. That's a conduct choice. That's a conduct thing. They say, you know, no. I mean, I'm in control of this thing. I'm completely in control of this. Go to the rescue mission. Talk to the dear people that go to the rescue mission. We're over here under the Clear Creek Bridge right now with plastic bags, standing around trash cans with stuff burning it, trying to stay warm. Ask them if they're in control of their alcohol and their drugs. Ask them. Ask them if they can't stop anytime they want to. Ask them. And most of them would say, yes, when I feel like it. That's mocking sin. Don't you understand, dear friend, the Bible says sin when it is finished. Sin's finished with you. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There is a point to where you live in life, and if you allow sin into your life, you're in control of it. But there is a point where you go from controlling sin, and sin goes to controlling you. And the transition is never seen. Because if sin brings forth death, who'd sin? Why, we wouldn't do that. So our conduct makes us look like a fool. And then sin makes a fool out of us. Just reaches down, sucks the life right out of people, sucks out their hope, sucks out their future, sucks out their innocence, sucks out all their plans, sucks away their life and their plans and everything that God could give them, and they still think they got it completely under control. And sin is making a fool out of them. But who chose to sin? Well, this expression they're using nowadays, these unwanted pregnancies. What an interesting concept. Unwanted pregnancies. Look at me, people. You don't want the consequence? Then you don't do what brings the consequence. That's the conduct choice. There's nothing. Only thing that's unwanted is the child in the womb. That's all that's not wanted. They want the choice and the conduct of sin so they can create more children, so to go out, take them to abortion clinics and butcher them by the millions in our own country. And they make that an unwanted, and they blame the kid for it. It's not the child's fault. But see, that's what we do. We're mocking sin. We're saying, no way. Pastor Johnson, come on. You fundamental Baptist, you've got more do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs in your life than you could possibly imagine. We got folks that won't come to this church because they don't like me telling them what they're doing that's wrong. Too stinking bad. Then go get you a preacher who wears lace on his drawers. You know the truth, that's a Hebrew expression for he ain't too masculine. But the truth of the matter is, what is wrong with us? We're mocking sin like somehow or another it's our friend. Sin drove nails in Jesus' hands, put a spear in his side and nails in his feet and crucified the sinless Son of God. And it was our sin that put him there. There's nothing to mock about. Fools make a mock at sin. And then sin makes a fool out of them. It's tragedy. Please listen carefully now. Please, I'm not making fun of folks who have to live and have to suffer the consequences of their wrong. Like, yeah, there they go, and getting what they got coming to them. Boy, you are Mr. and Mrs. Compassion. And when those chickens come home in your roost, my friend, I want to come and do that to you and see how it feels in your face. But dear folks, sin is a consequence of our conduct. We choose to do this. It's our action that brings this about in our lives. And sin is going to make a fool out of you. Absolutely, pull everything away from us. Sin never gives you more than it takes from you. The old expression is still true. Sin takes you where you never intended to go, keeps you longer than you intended to stay, and makes you pay a price you cannot afford. Fools make a mock at sin. Our conduct makes us look foolish. Now, wait a minute. But whose fool are you? Are you sin's fool? Are you righteousness's fool? You do what? You go into a store and when you buy an item, you walk out and look at your receipt, check it, and you find out they didn't charge you for something, and you turn around and go back in the store. You don't consider that like Christmas time in the middle of January. You go back in the store and say, excuse me, but you didn't charge me for something. It's fun just to get to look at the expression of the people behind the counter. They stand there. Huh? One time I had him tell me, it's more of a hassle to redo everything. Just take it. And I said, you don't own this place, do you? No, do you? You don't own this place, because if you did, you wouldn't do that. Ring it up, pal. Got to pay for it. Because if you take something that doesn't belong to you, I think that's called stealing. And sorry. It's a political year. You know, the truth is, dear people, that looks so foolish to people. They'd say, what? The time you're going to spend is not worth the item you're going to do. But you can't take what it is. That looks so foolish to people. See, our righteousness and the choice and the conduct of doing right in a world that's gone wrong makes us look like fools. We actually believe that you get married, then you have children. We actually believe once you get married, you work it out and stay together. We believe these crazy things that it's supposed to be a man with a woman. We're crazy. We are so foolish in this world's eyes today. They say to us, you don't believe in abortion, but you believe in the death penalty. That's a contradiction. Can I insert one word in your thinking? It's the word innocent. See, a child is innocent. A person who murders somebody isn't innocent. Think about it, folks. There is a difference between murder and killing someone. There is righteousness. The world will say, but you are out of your mind. Nobody believes that anymore. Well, excuse me. I know a few folks who do. And I'm sorry if that looks foolish to this world. But one more time, who is it now? We're fools in the sight of? I'm a fool in the sight of God when I say, yeah, but I'm in control of this thing, God. I mean, it's cost me everything I could hope for in life, and I'm 18 years old. My life's half over. But, you know, it's all right, God. I mean, look, it's ruined me. My health has destroyed my life, but don't worry about it. God, I'm in control of this thing. And God's in heaven saying, son, you are a fool. Figure it out. Or with other ones where the world says, are you what? You do what? You believe what? Well, that's stupid. Nobody believes. Yes, that's right. I'm a fool in the sight of this world by conduct, by choices. Don't you see the prodigal son look like the hero of his generation when he went to his father and said, Father, give me the portion of my inheritance that falleth to me. And then he goes off to a far country and has a time of riotous living. At that point, he looks like everybody's Hollywood bad boy. I mean, this guy's got the package. He's got the money. He's got all the friends that money can buy. Up to the moment of the famine hitting him and his bank account falling apart, this kid looked like Mr. Brilliant. Until the famine arose in the land that he did not watch and see. Until his bank account was gone. And when he's broke, all his part-time paid-off friends are gone. Now he's in a hog pen eating pig food. And now who's the fool? See, everybody else looked like the fool when the kid ran off to the far country. Everyone else looked stupid. But when he got to the hog pen, he's the only one where no man cared for him and no man gave unto him. But in the pig pen, he said, I will arise and go unto my father. And I'm going to make this thing right now. But he had to become the fool in the sight of the world to get straightened out in his thinking. Hey, we're fools by our choices. We're fools by our conduct. And when the world thinks we're fools because they don't have the character to live up to what we're trying to do for God, they're the ones who are fools, not us. And then we're fools by our convictions. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, turn there quickly and we'll finish there this morning. Is it snowing outside? You folks in the foyer, is it snowing out there? No. Okay, good. No smoking in the foyer, by the way. Please put the cigarettes out there. Appreciate that. Smoking lamps not lit. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 9. Turn there quickly. We're fools by our convictions. You know what a conviction is? Conviction is a belief or a practice based on a principle that never changes. Now for us, biblical convictions are principles and practices based on God's word that never change. Why do you think we do the hymns? Huh? We have a conviction about singing biblical hymns here. Conviction, because it's biblical music. Well, see, good music doesn't change, never changes. The truth of the matter is, dear people, a conviction is a belief or a practice based on an unchanging truth in life. For Christians, that's the Bible. Do you have any convictions? Look at me. Do you have any convictions in your life? Absolutely do not change, will not change, cannot change, will not change them for anyone or anything else. No circumstance or situation changes a conviction. Well, I wouldn't do that normally, but here's the situation. That's not a conviction. That's a preference. That's a convenience. But convictions will make you look like a fool. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. Verse 10, we are fools for Christ's sake. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Fools for Christ's sake. Because we have these convictions in our lives. Look at me. Things that just don't change, won't bend, won't burn. You just got to be, Pastor Johnson, you just got to be more flexible about some things in life. Okay, flexible in menu choices, maybe. Like a salad instead of fried chicken. You take the salad, but you want the fried chicken. Flexible, maybe. Color choices when it comes to clothing, possibly. Principles by which you live your life? No, sir. Because verse 9 says we are a spectacle. That word's theatron. It means the theaters they built in those days were places where people would come and sit and listen to someone deliver a speech or put on a play. There's one in Ephesus that seats 50,000 people, open-air stadium. And it's cut out of the side of a very steep mountain. And the seats almost literally go straight up above the theatron, the stage area. And you can stand on that stage to this day and whisper and be heard at the very top. And it provides excellent vision. You can see everything that goes on. And the acoustics is perfect. It's a theatron. They built them specifically before they had the time of amplification and lights and all the things necessary. The Bible says we are on this theatron of a life today, this spectacle, and we are a spectacle unto the world, to angels, and to men. There are people who watch us as we live our lives. And when you live your life in accordance with the Word of God, my friend, you look like a fool. That's why he said in verse 10, but we are fools for Christ's sake. For Jesus will be a fool because of what we believe and how we live our lives and the things that just won't change. Some of us come from churches today and we can't go back to those churches we once attended. Do you know why? They've changed. They changed from the principles of right and wrong and good and bad and biblical. And they've changed those things. But what was right then is right now and you can't change the truth. We are a spectacle unto the world, unto angels and to men. That world out there that watches us, they're looking for an unchanging truth. I don't care how much they make fun of us and how they belittle it. In the back of their mind, they're thinking, yeah, but this... Let it all hang out, baby. Sloppy agape. Whenever you think about it, go ahead and do it. Principle, that just isn't working in life. And the world is finding that out day in and day out. And they're looking for something real that stays the same. We're a spectacle to that world. The Bible says we're a spectacle to angels. Those are God's angelic hosts that watch from heaven. We're a spectacle to the people in heaven who watch us run our race. How must those dear people feel who shed their bloods in Colosseum floors and Catholic basements and Protestant judgment halls for their faith? Look at us, say, well, it's a little cold and I probably won't go back to church tonight. I wonder what they think about that. And we're spectacles to each other. Men, the Bible says. Every other God, one of God's people. You know what an encouragement and blessing you are to folks by being faithful to God? Just your presence provides encouragement to people. But you got to get a conviction in your craw, friend. And you just got to stay with it because we are being watched in our lives. There's a story I haven't told here in a very long time. When we were in Bible college many years ago, we used to go to Great Lakes Navy Base in North Chicago, and get sailors there and bring them down to church and things. 70 miles one way to drive up there. And because I considered it a ministry with the retarded, actually, because we were working with sailors. But we drive a bus up there and pick a bunch of these guys up, young ladies too sometimes, and bring them down for church services and home-cooked meals. We're driving back one Sunday night after church and heading home. We got caught in a horrible rainstorm. In Chicago, if you're from the Midwest, you know how that works. You can get 3 or 4 inches of rain in a few hours, and it just floods everything. In the downtown part of Chicago, the overpasses on the freeway don't go up over the flat freeway. They dip the freeway under the overpasses. And so under the overpass is this big recess area you drive down through and out. And it's got the drains in it and all that's all hooked up to the sewer system in Chicago. When it rains hard like that, those things fill up with water, and they can be, very deep. We're driving back after we drop these guys off at the base. We're driving back about 1 o'clock in the morning, and these things are full to the top. Backed up Chicago sewer water. We pulled up to it, and we looked in there, and we thought, oh, now what are we going to do? Then we see a semi-truck go chugging through there, bub, 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 bub. We thought, hey, we're big as a semi-truck. Bible college students, very intelligent young people. So we start driving down into the sewer water, gray, murky, with parts in it. What do you mean parts? Oh, come on. You know what I mean by parts. Start driving the bus down and tell the bus driver, now don't let this thing die on us, man. And he drives down in the water. Boop, boop, boop. Coast down into the water, starts to come up on the first step of the bus, then the second step of the bus, the third step of the bus. The water's coming into the bus. And we're standing there. We're all dressed like this. And what are we going to do? Brother Evans and I were there, a couple other guys. We say, well, I said, I don't know what you guys are doing. I'm not ruining my suit in this Chicago sewer water. I'm not doing it. They said, well, one guy from West Virginia, I think, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm taking off my suit. He goes, well, then you'll be in your drawers. I said, I can get drawers. I can't buy another suit. I only got two. I'm taking off my suit. I said, look, it's the middle of the night. Ain't nobody out here anyway. So we started getting laughing. We all took our suits off. Now, we kept our shirts and ties on so we would look appropriate. So there's 6 or 8 of us standing there in our underwear with our shirts and our ties on. Bus driver opens the door, and we start walking down, squish, 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 walking down into this gray, slimy, stinky, backed-up Chicago sewer water. Start to walk around to the front of the bus, and the water was just about chest deep on me. My friend Matt Cabral is a little short Mexican guy. The water was about lip deep on him, right about there. And he's walking this way going, blowing the parts away. As we're walking around to the front of the bus, and it stunk so bad. Oh, my soul. And we get around to the front of the bus like this, and we start pushing that bus out of the sewer water. And we're pushing it back, squish, squish, squish. Pushing the bus out of the sewer water like this. We get going about, oh, man, a little ways. We start pushing it. Starts coming out. And then one of the guys go, a rat bit me. And they have these super rats in Chicago. I mean, they got headlights and license plates. They're huge rats. He thought a rat got him. So we jumped up onto the bus. Where? And the bus driver started laughing so hard, he let the bus roll back into the sewer again. So it was a stick. And we said, oh, stupid, it was a stick. So we get back in the water. And here's Mac. And we start pushing the bus out of the sewer. We push it back up onto the ramp like that. We stand there. You know, it's the middle of the night. There's nobody around. Middle of the night, overpass. We stand there and we start squeegeeing the stuff off of our legs and things like that, laughing at each other. Look at you. I didn't know you wore Spider-Man underwear. And we're just laughing at one another like that. And the bus driver starts pointing up like this. And we turn around and look up on the overpass. There must have been 300 people on that overpass up there. Watching 8 guys in their underwear with white shirts and ties on pushing the bus out of the water. And then they started clapping. So we stood there a minute and we thought, we're Mormons. Nobody that got off that bus thought anybody was watching. 300 people watching 8 guys in their drawers and white shirts and ties pushing a bus out of the sewer. I wish I could say that was the last time I looked like a fool in the world's sight. But ladies and gentlemen, when you have convictions, this world is going to try to make you change. And there's a reason for that, because they want you to be like them. They want you to fail so they don't feel bad about their failure. Now listen to me, and we're not here to condemn them for it, but the best thing you can do is take your stand, friend, on the truth of God's word and do not move a muscle. Because thereby then they'll have something to come to. When they get tired of the fact they can't move you, but every time you compromise, you give your friends ammunition to continue their foolish life, and you just made a fool out of yourself in front of them. We are a spectacle unto the world and the angels and the men. You hear me? And our convictions make us look foolish to this world, but God looks down from heaven and says, having done all to stand. One day we'll stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ and he will look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And then we will not look as foolish as we thought, not in his sight. The question isn't, are you somebody's fool? The question is, whose fool are you? Let's bow our heads for prayer, please.